A lush creek bed winding through Van Buren County is where two bat catchers finished a monumental field research project. Since 2004, they've netted more than 1,500 bats from abandoned barns scattered across Iowa's countryside to a covered bridge in Madison County.
It's when you spend 30 or 40 nights a summer out playing around with them, it's kind of hard not to fall in love with them.
That's biologist Russ Benedict, who leads the project with state zoologist Daryl Howell. Howell is sweeping through the air with a handheld antenna resembling the rooftop hardware used for TV reception. He's listening for radio signals broadcast from near weightless transmitters glued to the backs of Indiana bats.
That's 218, one of the females.
They track them down to help answer critical questions. Just where do the Indianas roost as they raise their young? What are their favorite trees? And should old barns in Iowa be preserved as their habitat?
Well, they were one of the first species listed. They've been on the endangered species list for like 38 years.
Biologist Bob Klevenstein is with the Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency funding the bat study.
Well, we have kind of a series of guidelines in place for protection of Indiana bats, federal projects. That's why finding out where they're roosting is so important, because maternity colonies are really key to the recovery of the species.
Iowa is on the fringe of the bat's range, where they are found generally south of Interstate 80.
A lactating female Indiana bat.
Number 218 was one of the first ones trapped last night by Benedict and his students from Central College. This morning, they close in on the mother and her baby.
So it is now that tree right there. And simply by circling around a bunch of times, we're able to eliminate all other trees. So that's a dead shagbark hickory, probably 25 feet or so tall.
So this tells us what kind of habitat the Indiana bat likes to live in during the daytime, and we should try to preserve it.
Exactly, exactly. And you'll find that in areas in Iowa, this habitat is still pretty darn common. And at the same time, there are people in the surrounding landscape who are making a living. And so to me, what this says is we can have endangered species and humans living in the same environment as long as we're just a little bit careful as to how we treat the land.
Well, we've confirmed that barns are not an important habitat as far as day roost for bats.
Since the Indiana tends to prefer dead trees, Howell says their findings might result in guidance for landowners.
If, say, you were removing some trees that might be used as maternity roosts or roosting sites, if they're removed in the summer, that would have an adverse effect as far as when the bats are here. But if it's removed in the fall and winter, there's not a direct effect.
I think that it's important that we find out basically as much about it as we can while we have a chance.
Professor Howell's daughter, Sarah, has become a bat expert herself.
Oh, I've been bitten by bats plenty of times. I've had the rabies series once and then the booster.
It's not so much what bats might do to people as it is what humans might be doing to them.
As species start disappearing, there must be a reason for that. And that doesn't bode well for us. So we need to be paying attention to the species around us.
Baby Indianas are beginning to fly, and in September they will migrate south and east where they hibernate in caves and mines. That's where they face a new threat, a deadly fungus that so far has not been seen in Iowa. From near Keosauqua, Rick Fredrickson, Iowa Public Radio News.